KSS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Powerful storms across the Midwest have spun up a number of tornadoes, one of the worst in Greenfield, Iowa, not far from Des Moines. It caused widespread damage and injured several. This woman counting her blessings.
Everything's going to be fine because we have each other, but it's just going to be really, really rough. It is a mess.
Governor Kim Reynolds issuing disaster declarations for 15 counties. The Associated Press is projecting Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis will win the Democratic primary. She'll face GOP lawyer Courtney Kramer, who's worked in the Trump White House and on his campaign. The former president's hush money trial is in recess until next Tuesday, when closing arguments are expected. The UN has suspended food distribution in Rafah due to a lack of supplies and the instability in the southern Gaza City. The government's weather forecasting agency says this year's Pacific hurricane season is likely to be below normal. This is ABC News. New York's highest court has upheld a rule requiring insurance companies to cover medically necessary abortions. Religious groups challenged the rule, and appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court is expected. A cheaper weight loss alternative is sending one company's stock soaring.
Hims & Hers Health, the company behind the men's sex performance pill, Hims, announcing a new injectable weight loss drug to compete with Ozempic and Wegovy. The company says it will offer a $199 per month compounded form of semaglutide with the same active ingredient as Ozempic and Wegovy to help customers avoid shortages and the high cost of the originals. The FDA has warned against patients using a compounded form of semaglutide because it does not review those drugs for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Still, Hims and Hers stock jumped nearly 30% on the announcement. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Small business owners are more undecided about the presidential election than the general public. That's according to a new survey by Goldman Sachs. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The newest prosecutor in the Wisconsin Attorney General's office is funded by a foundation fighting climate change. The Journal Sentinel reports Karen Heineman's $90,000 salary is covered by the State Energy and Environmental Impact Center at New York University Law School. It was set up to fight efforts to roll back environmental protections under the law. Bird flu has infected dairy herds in other parts of the country, but so far not Wisconsin. Experts are worried now that one person in Texas was infected. Andrew Pecos is with Johns Hopkins University.
Given that dairy farms have a large number of people who can come in contact with infected cows, there is an increased chance of the H5N1 virus also directly infecting humans.
Experts recommend sticking with pasteurized dairy products. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Marlins get away from the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Miami Marlins are in last place in the National League East, but last night they improved after beating the Brewers 3-2 in Miami after 10 innings. Milwaukee's Andrew Monasterio scored first in the fifth with a solo home run shot on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Monasterio, center field, back, Chisholm, it's gone! First hit is a homer, Andrew Monasterio. Monasterio puts the Brewers out in front, and it was a bomb to center.
But the Brewers' bullpen went through seven relievers. That's because starter Joe Ross left the game after just pitching in the first inning. How much did it affect the game?
It affects you a lot when your starter goes one, but he had a lower back strain. He was feeling it a little bit before the game, so we knew about it. But then after he had to go run and back up third, it pulled on him again.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. Ross will go on the injury list. The two teams play again tonight. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Are you ready to hit a home run with your business marketing? It's time to step up to the plate and get noticed with help from your local MVP senior account executive, Peter Van Doren.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Through the evening, a tornado watch continues for the area. Large hail greater than golf ball size, wind gusts higher than 70 miles an hour, and tornadoes all possible. Lows tonight in the upper 50s. More showers possible again tomorrow. Right now it's 73.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time live from Kopke's greenhouse outside of Oregon, Wisconsin, talking planting and also the bug guy, cicadas, all that and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is Oshkosh Air Support.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we got a jam-packed show here. Thanks to our producer, Haley, here. I have to roll out of bed here after my little nappy and ask her what the show's about. And it sounds like we got a great show here. We have our friend Ruth Buffalo on. And there's Ruth right there. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, Matsukidads. Thank you for having me.
Right on. And Ruth, you are the CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minneapolis, and a lot going on, and great to have you on and give us some updates of this great organization and how we can support it.
Yes, thank you. We do have a lot going on. I am thankful and super happy and proud to be in this new role of CEO, President of the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. I stepped into this role about maybe 10 or 11 weeks ago, I think, on March 4th, 2024. And definitely hit the ground running, I would say, in like a dead sprint. And so, yeah, it's been a lot of fun, been very interesting, and just trying to help stabilize our agency and keep the doors open for seven generations ahead and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got a great history of a lot of great leaders, and it's really great to have you on and talk about you now as the new leader. Your vision to what's going to happen there. I know there's so many things that happen for the community. And also there's a support aspect that I think us as good relatives here in the Twin Cities and all over Turtle Island need to know about how we can support such a great organization with such a great history.
Yes, thank you. Definitely donate. We need... we welcome all donations, monetary donations. Actually just visited with a fellow nonprofit in the area here who helps they're a volunteer organization, and they help with renovations, and they did a good amount of renovations, I believe, this past fall of 2023, and they're hoping to return. They're actually going to be here tomorrow to do some work on the north side of our building in the playground area. And so we have a lot of lot of things on deck and in the docket, but definitely please donate. We're super thankful for all of our supporters, you know, past and present. There's a donate tab on our website, miwrc.org, and donate. I believe it comes up right when you click on miwrc.org. We are, you know, super grateful for all of the donations and support. But yes, we are still here, and we have an amazing staff, you know, who are very committed to the future of MIWRC and our client relatives that we serve. And so we are, again, stabilizing all of the existing programs that we have, but we also are helping make sure that our staff are supported, you know, through self-care and our personal wellness, and doing things as a staff, as a collective, to make sure that we are centering our healing as well, so that we can be of service and continue to be of service to the community that we serve. So those are some of the things that are top of mind right now.
Awesome. And, you know, you have awesome services, awesome. I'm using that word awesome a lot today. really, really cool things happening there. I know you bring in relatives that help with, you know, making ribbon skirts. And also there's big talking circles that happen there. Can you talk a little bit about what happens during the week there at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center?
Yes, a lot of programming, a lot of outreach, home visits. We have a new sexual assault empowerment group for Native women starting up May 24th from 1:30 to 3 p.m. Our Nujimo She, They Heals program will be holding a monthly support group for Native women who are survivors, or those who identify as women are definitely welcome and will be embraced. And so survivors of sexual violence, gender-based violence, we provide a safe space to support Native women and, you know, trans relatives, to provide culturally specific crafts and discuss topics conducive to healing. And then there will be a free meal and refreshments provided. Please contact Penelope Sanchez at psanchez@miwrc.org. So that's one new group that's popping up right now. Nujimo also does weekly visits into the correctional facilities and helps survivors of violence, you know, gender-based violence. And so with a lot of supportive wraparound services. Downstairs, we have the drop-in center, and that is also open on a daily basis, where we're helping serve client relatives who are unhoused, may come in, seek services. Right now, we don't have in-house any behavioral health or addiction services, so we do a lot of referral services. In the past, MIWRC did have all of those services in-house, but we're definitely strengthening existing and past partnerships. Like, for example, Native American Commission, I'm thinking of Fargo language, Native American Community Clinic, NAC, are super amazing partners of ours. They host a cedar ceremony here every month in the community room within the MIWRC building. We also have the Family Services Department that has a lot of home visits, outreach through kinship care, life skills, parenting, and also other outreach and parenting curriculum classes. And then we have our traditional birthing program that does a lot of outreach and supportive services. And then we have our learning center that has a couple trainings on deck, Native American 2-day training focusing on substance use disorder, also another SUD training on deck as well. And then we have housing. We have a housing navigator who is helping stabilize housing for our relatives unhoused. We had the top two floors of the MIWRC building, they are going to be renovated. And we had a huge process that took place before I got here, where there was a relocation process and plan. And it's been interesting, but I'm hearing a lot of feedback, which is good, you know, of sort of success stories of families that, you know, it was hard for them to move. Some of the families had lived here for 12 years, you know, a huge life-changing event, but they actually were moved into more of an independent setting, nicer environment, nice house, you know, so it's, there's some success stories there. And I just really want to give credit to our amazing staff who continue to show up day in and day out, providing selfless service and continuing to center our client relatives' voices and try to make sure that our staff, they themselves are whole, you know, and able to help others effectively.
It's amazing. I got to bring my video crew down there because and videotape this. This is just amazing what you all do there. Let's talk a little bit when we come back how our listeners can support what's going on there and websites and things like that. And because this is some great work you're doing there. I want to call you representative, but your CEO, Ruth Buffalo. And we're so happy to have you on. And we'll talk a little bit about that when we come up. Okay. Ruth shaked her head. Yes, it's okay. We'll be right back after this short break.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
NEMA, the Northeast Minneapolis Arts Association, is celebrating 29 years of Art-A-Whirl, the nation's largest open studio and gallery tour. This popular free event is a rite of spring and a great opportunity to tour private artist studios and galleries, connect with artists, and purchase original artwork. Over 1,300 artists are spread across 100 sites throughout Northeast Minneapolis to participate in Art-A-Whirl, from potters and painters, weavers and woodworkers, to musicians and glassblowers. Over 30 mediums are represented, and Art-A-Whirl takes place at studio buildings, galleries, breweries, and restaurants throughout the Northeast Minneapolis neighborhood. Art-A-Whirl runs Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 17th through 19th. Visit NEMA's Art-A-Whirl website to access the artist directory, maps, dining, and brew guides, and find demos, music performances, and interactive activities for everyone. Free Metro Transit passes and Art District trolley service is also available. Discover it all at NEMA.org. That's NEMAA.org.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program or TAP is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. That's 612-373-3333.
Anine, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Love that tagline, as I always say. Hey, we're here with Ruth Buffalo, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minneapolis. And we're talking about the great things that that organization does. And Ruth is the leader. And Ruth, I want to, because I have a good memory, but it's short, I want to bring up right away how people can support this great organization that are listening in.
Yes, our website is miwrc.org. We do have a Instagram page, miwrc2024. We have had some hiccups, unfortunately, with the transition of leadership. And so you might see on Facebook a page that has about, I think, maybe 5,000 to 7,000 followers, but the last post on there was from like October of 2023. We're still trying to gain access to that. And then, early April, I think April 2nd, the second Facebook page was deactivated when a staff member, former staff member left, you know? And so just being clarifying and being open and honest there, those are the hiccups that we challenges that we face. So we're debating on whether or not to create a third Facebook page, you know, or just continue to wait patiently to try to gain access to the one Facebook page that is up and running. We know that as Native Americans, we're one of the top populations that use Facebook, you know, so it's tough when you don't have access. And it's also tough when you get blasted on Facebook too, in that respect, people say, pluses and minuses.
Well, Haley blocks those messages out for me, so I don't see them. Thanks, Haley.
Yeah. Hey, the spam messages are constant on Facebook.
Yeah. Hey, Haley, you had a good question during the break here about the parade and the float.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Ruth, didn't the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, you guys took home first prize for the kickoff parade for Indian Month here, right?
Yes, we did. We took first place out of, I think, 24, 25 floats, and it was definitely tough competition. And, you know, there again, our staff, you know, stepped up and completely shined and did an amazing job. You know, we have artists, we have so many talented people on staff and very, very creative with good hearts. And so it's amazing to see. But yes, we definitely needed that boost, and that was amazing to see. Our staff take first place in the May 1st American Indian Month kickoff parade.
Yeah, definitely. That was exciting. And now I think we have something to shoot for, Haley. You can start working on our float for Native Roots Radio right away.
I know. What, it could be like a boom box or something.
Big microphone. Yeah, we definitely were already planning, you know, planning ahead, trying to hold that title. So big responsibility.
Uh-oh. It's on now, Haley.
Oh yeah, we got some stiff competition for sure.
Right. Well, what does a day look like with you at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center? I know there's a lot of, like you mentioned, a Native American Community Clinic, and we know Native American Community Development Institutes right down the street. You know, those neighbors support, I know, support what you're doing, and it's great to have you part of the community.
Thank you. Yes, Madzigirads. Yes, a lot of the Native-led organizations have been super supportive and, you know, providing guidance on just even like when we had a snow day and, you know, just different things in passing, you know, that were super helpful. Like NACD and NAC are helping us, you know, partner with for future funding opportunities. And a day in a life of being here at MIWRC is I work at least 12-hour days. So this is kind of cut into my work day. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, last night I was here till about 8:45. You know, I usually get here 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. But, you know, we're not in the safest neighborhood also. And we had a staff member's vehicle broken into last week, Thursday, broad daylight, 2:00. We have security cameras, but we're beefing up those systems as well and security as well, you know, but, and so that would happen in broad daylight. And yeah, so, you know, thankfully, her car wasn't stolen, you know, they gained entry, but where she walked out right when they were in her vehicle, you know, and so, it was a Kia. And then the next day we saw another Kia parked on the side of the road out there with their window bashed in. And, you know, so it's unfortunate, but so definitely have to be aware of our surroundings. But again, we're here and still, you know, want to wholeheartedly support and serve our community to the best of our ability. But we have a lot of amazing things going on here. You know, we're excited, gearing up for our open house. That will be this Thursday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. We have the amazing Deanna Standing Cloud, who will be our MC. We have painting, you know, cakewalk, a lot of even musical chairs, you know, just some fun games to, you know, engage with the community. We're inviting all community orgs to set up a booth free of charge, but it's just a time to come together. We're going to be grilling. You know, we have some amazing food and potato salad that will be a part of the day. So we hope you'll stop by 2300 15th Avenue South here in Minneapolis in the Phillips neighborhood, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
What the heck? A cakewalk? I have not. Right.
We were trying to get a dunking booth too, you know, as a fundraiser, but maybe next time.
Mm. we could have Haley do it. It's a little chilly, but
you'll be in there, please.
He said, please. I guess
My son, he when I used to work for my tribal nation, I used to run our summer youth employment program, but they always had a really fun employee appreciation day, and they had a dunking booth. And my son, he's going to be a senior in high school next year, but he was maybe 8 years old at the time, but he won the dunking booth contest. Right. And he, you know, kept getting the CFO, dunked, but yeah, he has a good arm on him.
Well, that reminds me, now that you're back in Minnesota, are you a Vikings and Twins fan and a Lynx fan? What's happening here?
Lynx fan for sure, especially with the Alaska Native Samoan young lady. Hope to catch a few games, hoping that she may stop by and maybe say a few words to our client relatives. Was visiting with Sharon Day at one of the events, and I told her I'll follow her lead. You know, she's with Indigenous, or she leads Indigenous Peoples Task Force, and told her I'll follow her lead, Sharon Day, to like get the connects going with the Minnesota Lynx player. Or maybe we can ask our sister, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan.
Well, we can ask Haley. Haley knows the PR person for the Lynx and got her on the show the second day that
amazing. She signed. So,
can you say her name again?
Great role model. What's that?
Alyssa Peely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm bad at names, so I have to have Haley here tell it. Say that name again. I think I was talking over you.
Alyssa Peely, the one and only Peely Power.
Right on.
And she made the roster recently, I saw. So yeah, that'd be amazing. We'll watch her. It'd be awesome.
Definitely. Well, Ruth, so we got Timberwolves out of you, but not Vikings or the Twins. So we'll have to grill you next week when you come on. And hopefully you can come on every week and give at least a one segment update. I just have to reminisce with you for a second. And I brought this up to you, but it was really, I always think of this in a good way when we, when I was bugging you to be on the show over the years, and you were flying. Do you remember you were flying somewhere?
And yes.
I interviewed Ruth the first segment, and she had to get into a plane and do some of her work. And I listened to the interview, and we talked early, and it was early in the morning. And then we interviewed later after you landed. And when I heard it play back, it was so funny. We were both so tired in the morning. And then in the second part, it was like we were wide awake.
Yeah, I remember that. It was like in between connections. And I think, during that time too, you know, being like in service or service to the people, which is around the clock, you know, like doesn't end when you're in and out of office or not, you know. But yeah, you always kind of, you know, don't want to say no to people. So, to the people. So I would have said no. I would have helped either way, Robert, for sure.
I know. You know, I got to mention this too, and I don't know if a lot of our listeners remember this, but during COVID, we did a thing called Sunday Symposium across the country, and just to check in and see how people were handling COVID in Indian country. And Ruth, you had so many great guests on that show, that connections and people you knew and grew up and played basketball with, and what was happening in Navajo Nation and with the doctor down there. I just want to give you a big peeny geegee, and maybe we can do another show some Sunday about what's happening and do that again. That was just, we had 10,000-15,000 people watching this on weekly on Facebook Live.
Yeah, no, that would be great. And for sure, you know, there's lots of pressing issues across and throughout Indian country, urban and, you know, rural. Also too, just throwing that out there, definitely welcome a meeting with the Twins and the Timberwolves too, you know, if they should feel so inclined to give a donation to Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
Right on. Well, I think Wendy and I are going to the baseball game tomorrow, so I'll check in because we had our booth out there, and I know a few people, but we'll see. And it's great to have you on, and great to have you in the Twin Cities, and you're going to be doing great work as you have been in the past.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Powerful storms across the Midwest have spun up a number of tornadoes, one of the worst in Greenfield, Iowa, not far from Des Moines. It caused widespread damage and injured several. This woman counting her blessings.
Everything's going to be fine because we have each other, but it's just going to be really, really rough. It is a mess.
Governor Kim Reynolds issuing disaster declarations for 15 counties. The Associated Press is projecting Fulton County DA Fani Willis will win the Democratic primary. She'll face GOP lawyer Courtney Kramer, who's worked in the Trump White House and on his campaign. The former president's hush money trial is in recess until next Tuesday, when closing arguments are expected. The UN has suspended food distribution in Rafah due to a lack of supplies and the instability in the southern Gaza City. The government's weather forecasting agency says this year's Pacific hurricane season is likely to be below normal. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Immigration is a political issue as far north as Wisconsin. The dairy industry employs more than 6,000 immigrants. Dave Daniels owns a large farm in Kenosha County. He says it's working well.
They're very important to us, and we want to make sure that we have a good way of helping them out, and not only in their job, but also in the community and in society as it is, too.
Daniels speaking with Wisconsin Eye. Memorial Day weekend is the unofficial start of camping season. Campsites at Wisconsin state parks are filling up fast. Spots are reserved as much as 11 months in advance. The Department of Natural Resources says some of the best sites, the most popular parks, are already booked all summer. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Matthew Perry has been dead for 7 months, but not to Courtney Cox. The former Friends actress says she still feels Perry's presence quite often. Cox told CBS Sunday Morning she thought Perry was one of the funniest human beings in the world. Cox added that Perry visits her quite often and she can sense when he is around and that she talks to him. Perry died last year at the age of 54 due to the acute effects of ketamine. In news that's not really a surprise, Johnny Knoxville is being sued by a former segment producer. Daniel Curry is suing the Jackass star for negligence and battery. Entertainment Weekly reports that Curry was chased down and tased by Knoxville without provocation, resulting in serious injuries. Curry claims that since the incident, he's been blacklisted by the ABC Signature Network. I've seen some of the Jackass movies, usually against my will, and there is no way this is Knoxville's first lawsuit. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wamba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Through the evening, a tornado watch continues for the area. Large hail greater than golf ball size, wind gusts higher than 70 miles an hour, and tornadoes all possible. Lows tonight in the upper 50s. More showers possible again tomorrow. Currently, it's 66.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, we'll have our weekly Climate Check report, where we highlight headlines, leaders in the new green economy, and those blocking its progress.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, was really great to have the Lieutenant Governor on the first segment. What a well-spoken. We could have her on every day. Really, truly. And what a great speaker. And I've always get emotional when she's on the show. So, yeah, big peeny geegee. Hey, we are here with John Williams here, and he's a movie producer, and we know him for other things here in the community. And John, don't laugh. You are a movie producer.
Well, it looks like it could happen.
Well, we are going to be talking about the movie you're going to be working on, and we really appreciate you coming on. And talk about the process, and talk about where you're at with your next coming project. And we're excited to amplify that today.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me, you guys. It's great to see you, Haley and Robert. I have a couple of things I wanted to talk about NACD for you guys. Do you mind? We have some really fun stuff going on at the gallery at All My Relations. We've got an artist market coming this weekend. So it's Friday and Saturday. We've got 15 to 20 vendors. It's going to be from 10 to 2 right at our gallery next to Power Grounds on the Ave, but it should be great. I was at the last one and spent too much money, but that's a good thing to do, is come and spend money on artists. So yeah. Please come Friday, Saturday, April 19th and 20th, 10 to 2, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Yeah, we are excited, and we love to come there, Haley and I, we're going to be excited. We're going to be part of the market when it comes out this year, Native Roots Trading Post. And we have those cool little hoodies that you had taken a picture and put on Facebook up there. And we're excited to get those out there.
Yeah, everybody likes that. So I'm going to need more. The other thing is we have a new exhibit opening, you guys. It's Frank Buffalo Hyde. And he is opening a show called Alternative. It's painting and sculpture, and he's an amazing artist. It opens May 9th, and vivid and pop culture saturated, his work reflects on the commodification of Indian culture and the assertive roles for Native American identity in the contemporary world. So it should be a stellar exhibit. Opening reception May 9th, 6 to 8. Let me just double check. 6 to 8. I was right the first time, May 9th. So please come down, celebrate Native art with us. Come to the market. Thank you for letting me promote those things on the show.
Absolutely. And Haley talks about them, and we have Robert Lilligren on Thursdays too. So we love talking about what's happening on the Native corridor in Minneapolis. And I just want to remind too, all our listeners out there, everyone's invited, you know, all our allies out there.
Absolutely.
There is so much fun and joy. Stop in the coffee shop, check out the whole avenue and what's happening, you know. So we're really excited to be a part of this and be able to go down there and do that with you. And it's just a welcoming situation, John.
Hey, Robert, I heard that Robert Lilligren is kind of a disruptive guest. Is this true? Yeah.
No, but I do know that he appreciates his name spoken correctly. And so I am practicing every day now.
Right. You stumbled on Robert or Lilligren?
Maybe both.
Yeah. Ooh, Haley, easy there. Maybe both. I'll take the fifth. You'll have to listen more often, John.
I do try to listen, but I will take that as direction to listen more frequently.
Hey, so let's talk about what happened up in Duluth and what's happening now and the project you're working on. I'm really excited to amplify that.
Oh, good. Well, so I'm going to tell you the story here. And if we have to go to commercial, just shut me up, okay? which I know you will. So our friend Tashia Hart, who is a writer based in Duluth, she was part of our Native Authors program at NACTI and All My Relations. And for those who don't know about it, the Native Author program that we've been operating since 2021 is for emerging Native American artists. And Tashia Hart was in our first cohort. And by the way, it's been so successful that we'll be starting our third cohort this year. But Tashia wrote a novel. She wrote a romance novel called Native Love Jams. So that was happening and part of NACTI. So this is NACTI adjacent. In the meanwhile, my former colleague at NACTI, Elizabeth Day, is a filmmaker. And she made a beautiful documentary, co-directed and co-produced a documentary that that opened the Minnesota Film Festival last week. And so we were up there, but prior to going up to celebrate Elizabeth and Jonathan's beautiful film called Without Arrows, and that will be airing on PBS later this year. It's a gorgeous film about a Cheyenne River family, the Fiddlers, and the ups and downs of their life and reservation life and urban life. And so beautiful. The photography is stunning and it just packs a wallop at the end. Couldn't recommend it higher. More highly. So Without Arrows. But Elizabeth and I told her last year, I said, whatever your next project is, I want to work on it. That's all I said to her. Mm-hmm. In the interim, and a couple weeks had passed, in that interim, we both had picked up a copy of Native Love Jams and read it. And then I ran into Elizabeth and she said, here's my new project. I want to produce Native Love Jams into a movie. I was sold because I think there might be one or two other Native American romantic comedies, but it's certainly not something that's common. Mm-hmm. And I thought what the world needs right now is a Native American rom-com. And so what, so Tashia Hart went ahead and wrote a screenplay. And we decided to enter the pitch competition at the Minnesota Film Festival. And come to find out in February, March, we were selected as a finalist.
Wow.
So during the festival, yeah. So we went up and we rehearsed and we rehearsed and we got our stuff together and wrote. And Tashia and Elizabeth got up on stage last week and sold this pitch to festival attendees and industry professionals. And everybody laughed at the right moments. They thought it was wonderful. And we ended up winning. So we won the award. And at the same, just shortly after that, Elizabeth won for her other film for Best Local Filmmaker. So we just cleaned up that night. It was wonderful. There's been some interest already in our project, Native Love Jams, and so we're kind of getting our stuff together here and forming an LLC and doing production company stuff and mm-hmm. all of that. But thank you for letting me promote it. We really believe that this whole novel, the way that Tashia is so carefully crafted a romantic comedy to reflect a true Anishinaabe story, is so winning and beautiful and funny, and we deserve a happy ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And it's so interesting too. I was in New York and ran into a filmmaker, and she was trying to ask me if I knew any filmmakers. And then this popped up. So love to get you two together and talk over things, because she has a film. Haley, what's the name of the film again?
The Heart Stays.
Yeah, and that's on Apple TV, and she self-produced it, and it's just great to see all this art and film and television and media out there that Native Americans are doing by themselves.
Well, that's what Elizabeth and I want to do with our production company, is we want to not only produce cool Native movies, we want to build Native talent within the film industry. We would love to see more people getting trained in being a grip and being a focus puller, being part of a production. So many people love movies and they may think that they don't have an in to become part of the movie making process or TV making process. And so we want to strategize about ways that if we bring productions to Minnesota, are fortunate enough to do that, that we focus on how that's going to most directly impact our Native communities.
Absolutely. And we always talk, and I know we've talked, you and I, about Natives telling their own story, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. We have heart, we have humor, and we've proven that in the last 5 years with things like the television show Reservation Dogs and the movies that have come out, Predator, the pre-Predator, and there's just been a lot of excitement that we have to keep this momentum going.
Absolutely. I mean, we couldn't be more thrilled that Reservation Dogs was a success. Lily Gladstone is kicking down doors for us. Mm-hmm. There needs to be some equal time for Native people. And, you know, frankly, I want all of our stories being told, but those stories include romantic comedies. They right. include horror movies, which is my favorite right. genre. They include dramas, and not all of our stories are rooted in trauma.
Right.
Sometimes right. we just need a 2-hour break and watch something fun and light, and where all the tropes of a romantic comedy are represented, because she was so smart in putting this together, that we just get to celebrate the tumultuous ways that us Native people are falling in love.
Hey, we're here with John Williams, and he's Vice President of Development at Native American Community Development Institute and also a producer. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about this. And also, I will be shaving my goatee off if I need be to try out for the movie.
Just okay. All right. Yeah. We'll send you the casting call.
Right on. Right on. For somebody, a radio personality that mispronounces everyone's names, right?
Right. You might. Yeah. Well, there's a place for everybody in our ways.
That's Aww. Right. Oh, that's really cool. John, great to see you. Thank you for great everything you do in the community, and good luck with this, and stay in touch too. We want
all
to
right. Definitely. We will be back, I hope, to talk about Native Love Jams and all things NACTI. Thanks, you guys.
Right on. Hey, Native Roots Radio, we'll be right back after this short break.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, March 16th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org.
As nature awakens this spring, let's awaken to the call of protection. Native brothers and sisters, let's bloom together by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. Let's nurture our heritage and safeguard our futures, one vaccination at a time. So be a vaccinative this spring by protecting yourself and others in our Native community. Whether you're due for an updated vaccine or just getting started, all COVID vaccines offer vital protection against severe illness. For our elders over 65, the latest vaccine is recommended by the CDC to maintain protection. So spring forward with strength, Native communities. Embrace the renewal of the season and safeguard our traditions by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities.
Minneapolis Air dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Well, I just want to mention too, Haley, that it's Jim Thorpe Day today. And, you know, we talk about Jim Thorpe a lot here as one of the greatest athletes of all time. And it's proven, it was voted on. He was the greatest athlete of the 20th century. Excited to amplify that in 1973. On this date, President Tricky Dick Nixon made it his day. So, hey.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool.
Awesome. Hey, you know, we have our special guest as always, and we want to talk about some fun things here and what's going on tomorrow. Dr. Maureen Hackett, welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here. And I'm following on some pretty tough guests. I mean, you had Lieutenant Governor Flanagan. That's pretty amazing. And I know I've heard her many times. And so I would say she's probably the special guest. But anyway, we do have Wolf Day at the Capitol tomorrow. And we plan on adjusting slightly what we're going to be saying to some of the legislators, because we actually had a vote in the Senate last week. They tend to take votes with little notice. So we only had about 2 days notice, or maybe a little more, that they might have a vote on the floor of the Senate. And they did. And the vote was basically to prohibit wolf hunting. And we did not pass by a little bit. It's 30 to 35. And so tomorrow, we will be thanking those that voted to prohibit wolf hunting. And we will be asking the people whose senators or representatives that didn't vote, because the House voted last spring, and we can talk about that in a minute. But the senators that didn't vote with us, it's an opportunity for their constituents to talk to them about it and find out what are they thinking, what are their concerns, things like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's part of tomorrow. There's also the potential for a bill to pass, but we have to work on our on the bill language, and that is to require permission to trap on private lands, either written or verbal. Right now, 23 other states require permission if you want to put traps on someone's land. And the state of Wisconsin has had written permission required on all private lands for hunting and trapping since 1995. So what we're getting in Minnesota is we're kind of getting the people that don't want to have to ask anybody for permission to put traps on private lands from Wisconsin coming over to Minnesota. And so we hope that this gets passed. We know it's in the House Environment Committee, but there is some language we're objecting to, some exceptions are in there, and one of them we're objecting to it, and it involves exempting Highway 2. Mm. If you could hang on 1 second, I've got some feedback going on.
Well, we're here with Dr. Maureen Hackett, and she's the founder of Howling for Wolves, and she's back.
I'm back. Sorry, I just had to close a door. I left the radio on in the other room and I didn't want you guys to hear it. But so basically, tomorrow's Wolf Day. We plan on gathering with other wolf advocates. We have these great new t-shirts. I mean, I really like them. They're a hemp viscose material that's actually heavier than the kind we've had in the past. We have a vegan lunch by Root to Rise. And we really want people to register so we could plan. And it's kind of late to register now. But We're expecting probably a little over 100 people have RSVP'd. You know, we do get no shows, so walk-ins are welcome, because I'm sure we'll have plenty to give out. And it's a nice time. We get a chance. I give a little talk. I explain a bunch of things that I've been explaining on the radio. And there's a Dr. Michael Fox, who's a veterinarian. He's approximately, he's in his early 80s, maybe mid 80s now. And he's been working animal issues for a very long time, especially with elephants in India. And he's frequently, so he's going to say about 5 minutes too. I haven't quite figured out where in the program, but he'll be in the beginning of the day. And then everybody will go off to their meetings and report back to us on our little form we put together to tell us what they learn.
So are we going to talk to senators or the representatives too?
It's whoever we can get meetings with. And, and to be honest with you, right now they're really busy with their sessions. And so sometimes the best we can do is call them out of the session, you know, and have them come talk to you in the hallway. Otherwise we do try to get meetings set up, and we have a bunch set up, and, it matters in terms of when you registered, if we had enough time to get those meetings set up. And they're quick meetings. They're but usually they'll meet with constituents for sure on that day. I think it's going to be a big show tomorrow, or a big day tomorrow, because not just for us, but there are going to be a lot of people at the Capitol. I know the veterans are doing a walk. Disabled American veterans are going to be in the rotunda at noon. I plan on, as a veteran, I plan on sneaking up and joining them for a little bit, and showing them my support. So there'll be lots of activity at the Capitol, and we hope you'll get a meeting. And if you don't get a meeting, a lot of times we can get a meeting another day.
Right. Or you can go in with somebody else. I know, I'm always pleased to go in with Wendy, my wife, because she's an old hat at this and has it down, but she's also over the years helped people and gone in with people like Haley, who would be the first time. And also where Haley lives, there's a Republican representative and a Democrat senator, right?
Yes. Yep.
Who's the senator? Do you remember, Haley? What city?
That's a great question. I'm in Lake Elmo. So East Metro.
Oh, so you're probably Representative Housley, and I'm almost sure of it if you're not, you know, if you're a Senator's Housley or Seeberger, who's a Democrat. It depends. Oh, yeah.
Yes, I think Seeberger, and then I've got Mark Wines, too, for Republican.
Okay. Seeberger voted with us. Basically, every Democrat voted to prohibit wolf hunting except five, and I can name them off the top of my head. Actually, maybe six. And one Republican voted to prohibit wolf hunting, and that was Senator Jim Abler. The Democrats that voted, did not vote with us, were Senator Hoffman, Senator Latz, which surprised us out of St. Louis Park, Senator Housechild, Senator Kupek, and who could I possibly be forgetting? I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody. Yeah, that's the best I can come up with right now.
Well, first of all, I just want to mention this, because you just mentioned this, that thank you for serving. I did not know you were a veteran.
Yes, occasionally I mention it. It's in my bio on the Howling for Wolves website, but you got to go to the first line of, like, below even the general description. Yes, I was in for 7 years in the Air Force, and I was in the medical corps. I was a psychiatrist in the Air Force. I left as a major, finished my commission off. I had an 8-year commission. Anyways, it was in part how I paid for medical school. But I'm very glad I did it. I got more out of it than I would say I gave, although I gave my heart too. So anyway,
that's awesome. Dr. Hackett, we only have 30 seconds left. Let's give that information about tomorrow again for our listeners.
Well, it's Wolf Day at the Capitol, and it starts at 10:30. You register around 10, but everybody's registered and walk-ins are welcome. We can't really do much with walk-ins other than welcome you and enjoy your company and throw you into some meetings if you're willing. We'd love that. And just hang out. So it's at the Capitol in the basement, the vault room, which is just...
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show
Trump's trying to unite the Reich. We'll talk about it. We'll take your phone calls. Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.